slip. Stripper and brick. Break your mama's back. When a problem comes along, you must whip it before the cream sets out too long. You must whip it when something's going wrong. You must whip it. Now whip it into shape. Shape it up. Get straight. Go forward.
You are quite the reporter for asking that question. It never even occurred to me.
Like, do they finish?
I don't know. That is a rough way to end a sesh. That is cow speak for sex session. Wow. Good way to start a Monday.
Brutal.
Yeah. Well, not brutal. It looks like that cow was fine.
I mean, it limped away, but other than that...
We don't know if it already had a limp. That was a
big ball. You know what? Shame on me for just assuming all cows are fully bodily abled.
Thank you.
It's ableist of me.
Yeah, it is. And cowist, I might add. Cowist. Yeah, you're always cowist. How are you doing?
I'm good. I just, I'm distracted this morning because of your hair.
Oh, God, man. Yeah, this is rough stuff. Well, I just told him make it short.
Your hair
and he
looks
made
like,
it terrier.
It looks like Kumi's hair from 10 years ago.
What the fuck? You can't do anything with his shit. I look like an extra in the Breakfast Club.
I do feel like you, Gino, and Kumi are all starting to morph into the same person.
That is accurate. God damn. Yeah, I look like a terrier. Possibly Airedale. We're not sure yet. We're still getting the findings. But it was a whole make me pretty day. I on Thursday after our show. And by the way, happy Free Monday. It is Free Monday, correct? I never get the updates.
Ooh.
Yes. All right. That's why I wanted to start off with a cow almost dying. Turn off TV. A friend of mine works at this thing called Floss Bar. I'll give him a free plug. And basically, they offer teeth cleaning to those of us that don't have health insurance. And I shouldn't say us because I have some kind of.
I mean, you can go to any dentist without health insurance
and pay.
You
yes.
just pay. I don't have dental.
I can tell. And
I go to the dentist.
Do you? Yeah, so they offer affordable cleaning for those in need. And I guess I was in need. There was some sort of office shakeup, and they needed clients to impress someone. So I went over there for a free clean. You know, I was like, you know what? I'll get a haircut as well. It's been a long time.
Little self-care Saturday.
Thank you. Although I'm bad with alliteration, particularly my S words. Just told the guy, short. You know, don't make me look like a monkey. It made me look like a monkey.
Yeah.
And when it's really short, I look like a monkey.
To be fair, there are worse animals, I think.
Monkeys are pretty bad.
To look like?
Yeah, I don't know. Monkeys, especially chimps. Actually, I guess I look like a chimp, depending on... Oh, boy. Look at this thing. It looks like a Brillo pad. Ugh. Sorry, America. Look, at least you can look at her, all right? Focus on the dulcet tones of my voice, but have your visuals right there.
God, I wanted to say something else about your parents, but now I can't remember.
My appearance, yeah.
I always wonder, like, I feel like with women, a lot of times haircuts are brought on by devastating life things that happen in life, like twists and turns and breakups and firings or whatever else. But
all those things.
Was there a moment where you're just like, I gotta cut it off?
That is an amazing impression, by the way. I feel like I'm talking
of
to
you,
myself.
Yeah.
Yes. No, it was just on a whim. And I probably should have spent more. Clearly this was a cheap barber.
Supercuts.
Yeah, a little bit. Not so super, as it turns out. But what are you going to do? I am as God made me. Mm-hmm. Another title for possibly a break-off show of ours. I am as God. Yeah. Mm.
No one will watch that.
Well, the other one that I was thinking of on the way over here, because sometimes I think, was I was listening to something about the catch-and-kill stuff that the Inquirer would do, where they would find something about Trump and then not print it, pay the source. It's catch-and-kill with Joe and Bill.
Catch and kill with Joe and Bill.
Now, First of all, you get to be first, so I know you like that.
Yeah, but
there's a nice rhyme to it.
Who catches, who kills?
See, you find out with every episode. You don't know. Sometimes I'll catch and kill you. Other times you'll catch and kill me. It's a think piece. I don't actually know what our show would be about, but I like rhyming. All the timing.
Wow. I'm sorry.
Mondays brings out the best in me. How was your weekend?
Oh, boy. Daylight savings. Am I right?
Yeah.
My favorite is all the people on Twitter who are bitching slash just like ruminating over all the issues that daylight savings brings. And they're like, should I go to bed now? Wait, is it an hour later or earlier than I usually do? When should I eat? And I'm like, y'all are the same bitches who go to bars and stay out till 4 and then wait. Like,
don't discourage them.
Y'all don't ever keep a schedule. Why are we suddenly now so obsessed with what our schedule is? Because it's a little ridiculous.
It is, yeah. It's one fucking hour, people. Calm the hell.
When you're hungry. I don't know. Yeah. What do you mean, when are you supposed to eat?
Thank you. I don't have meals anymore. I just graze, eat when I have some cash to eat.
I guess it makes a difference for, like, babies keeping a schedule.
Does it?
I don't know. I don't have them.
I was going to say, I've never even heard the word baby come out of your mouth
before. Oh, gosh. But I will say, the walk to work this morning, so much nicer. I love the sun directly in my eyes.
You're like, are you being sarcastic? Or?
A little bit, but it helps you wake up.
It does help you wake up, and also you don't have to see the huge, awful swath of humanity that happens on the way to work.
Yeah.
I mean, we both walk. And sometimes I enjoy the people watching. Other times, don't want to be around any living thing.
Totally.
And yeah, the sunlight today brought a lot of that.
Speaking of hating people,
I love you when you speak of that.
I was bartending mostly all this weekend,
so sorry.
And it was really busy. And
why?
Really, I can't say why, because then that might reveal where I work.
Oh.
But. Very busy. So I guess I made a lot of money, but, you know, there just comes a point where it's not worth it. And then there was a new bartender who, I don't know who trained her, but they did an awful job. And I get to the point where I'm like micromanaging her, but I don't mean to, because if I see you're doing something wrong, I'm going to tell you. She seemed very excited about the fact that I'd been there since they opened. Like, she was excited to learn from me.
Oh, boy.
But at one point, I like made a correction. She was like, well, you know, we can't be that nitpicky. And I'm like, yes, bitch, we can.
Oh, wait, did you actually say anything, or did you just sort of take mental notes?
Oh, I didn't say anything. I walked away. But usually when people are dead to me, it happens like in a moment.
I believe that about you.
Who was someone else that's just like, oh, they're dead to me. Oh, there's this one girl who, when I told her in high school I loved Dashboard Confessional, and she laughed in my face. Dead to me. And this happened like a year and a half ago. She's dead to me.
I love how your vindictive little mind, emphasis on little, works.
Does that happen to you? Like, does anyone ever do something and you're like, I'm writing you off. That's it.
That's a good question. You know what? The thing of it is I think it would happen more if my brain worked like a normal brain, but I forget things so easily. Mm. So, like, usually if I have a slight, I remember that I don't like a person for something, but I don't remember what that something is. Yeah.
You know you haven't forgiven, but you forget.
Yes.
Why?
Yeah, I know they've hurt me in some way. I have a list, but I often forget.
If you had an actual list, because you forget otherwise.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like the opposite of a bucket list. It's their bucket. Like, they better have a bucket list, because I'm going to kill them at some point.
Although, you then see this list of people's names, and you're like, what is this list for? I'm supposed to reach out to these people?
It's like a grocery list for new pals. I don't know. Maybe I love these people. I'll figure it out. I got to start doing the rhyming game for the people that I need to get revenge on. I was telling you a little bit in the green room. I thought of you this weekend. Again, that made for a bad weekend. SNL did a sketch.
Ooh.
That involved the current
play. They never do those.
I know. They're trying to mix it up. They also had a guest host. Now, a guest host is like not a normal host, but a guest that's a host. You're welcome.
Wait,
America.
Why aren't we guest hosts?
That's a good question.
Is it famous people?
This time it was the gorgeous Idris Elba, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And he was very good, although he goes in and out of his American accent, I noticed. Even when he was playing American roles on SNL, I'd hear a little British twang.
Yeah, it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
I hear that in Nicole Kidman as well.
Yes, absolutely. And Mel Gibson, who was...
she's Australian.
Well, but, you know, fun fact, Mel Gibson was born in New York. upstate New York. Moved to Australia at a point where he still didn't have an accent. And then his accent was so thick in the first Road Warrior that they dubbed over an American voice when it came here.
Wow.
Because no one could understand him. But now Mel Gibson's got this weird Mediterranean type thing that's not Australian and it's not American, but it just sounds like Mel. Doesn't sound like it doesn't sound like anyone else, you know?
Yeah.
But he did do a good Scottish accent in Braveheart, which I still can't believe you haven't seen.
Scottish.
That just sounded like you said unbelievable. But this,
I'll work on it.
It made me. It reminded me of your current plight, where really you are, because of the times that we live in. Even though you can pull off vaguely ethnic, you really are in a position where you can't play vaguely ethnic.
Yeah, I'm not allowed.
This was the entire sketch.
Oh, nice.
And I believe we have a...
Hello, hello! And welcome to Can I Play That?, where I describe a role in an upcoming movie.
Oh,
and our
nice.
Contestants, David, Jackie, and Lawrence, all working actors, will have to decide, can I play that? For example, it was just announced that Will Smith will play the father of the Williams sisters. But can he play that? Lawrence.
Yes, of course. He'll do a great job.
Oh, anybody else?
He absolutely cannot. He's not black enough.
What? You are right, Jackie.
Wait. Is this real?
It sure is, because this game is produced by Twitter. Twitter.
I didn't know Idris Elba was so tall.
We'll kill you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Our first role is blind person. Can you play it?
Yeah, I can play that.
Oof.
What?
Wow. God took their sight, and now you want to take their job.
No. Wait a second. Isn't that what acting is about, you know, becoming someone you're not?
Not anymore, no. Now it's about becoming yourself, but with a different haircut. Okay, next role, astronaut.
No, I cannot play that.
Wait, why can't he play that?
Well, I just sensed it was a trap.
And it was. The astronaut was secretly Mexican all along.
Secretly?
That's right. The astronaut seemed white the whole movie, but in the last scene, when he gets back from Jupiter, he does 23andMe and discovers that he's 5% Mexican.
Oh, man, that would have been no bueno.
Watch it.
That's great.
Yeah, and so it reminded me that it's tough out there for you working actors.
Oh, yeah. It's frustrating. My boyfriend just auditioned for a new play, and it's for a gay bartender who plays guitar.
Ooh.
And I'm like, that's right up your alley. He's very close to getting it, or he went through callbacks, but then he heard that they might be casting a black actor instead of him.
First of all, use your terms. It's called Blackter. God Blackter. Damn, I need to give you the memo.
Instead of him. And he's like, gosh, like that would really suck if I'm like so close to getting this part. But, you know, because I'm not black, I don't get it.
You can't protest that.
And I'm like, and you know, you can't complain about that. And he's like, well, I can to you, but I can't publicly. I thought I would do it for him. No, yeah. They still haven't cast it yet. He's waiting to see. But he thinks that one of the directors or one of the like people in charge actually thinks he's gay because he thinks that they asked him out. He's like not sure.
You know, he cannot. He has to say that he can't. Obviously say that he's gay, but he should veer around the idea of him being hetero.
Well, I suggested he do some method acting just to really
It doesn't count as cheating
part.
If it's same-sex,
No, but
gentlemen.
It's one of those things where, and I've said it on this show before, like, if you're an actor, I feel like every actor is, in one way or another, a minority, in the broadest sense of the term.
Careful!
Meaning, there's only so many things you can do. Everyone wants something, but because of the sheer numbers, the odds of you getting cast in something are just very slim. So,
yeah, that makes sense.
In that sense, it's like everyone just wants work. They just want work. And
yeah.
As far as opportunity goes, I don't know. Is it better to be in a smaller pool of people who are, you know, actually, you know, the Native American they're looking for, or to be one of 5,000 people who want to play white girl with brown hair? Like, I don't know.
Wait, that is a great game show. Are you the Native American I'm looking for? And it's just various people that may or may not have tried out for Pocahontas. I don't know. But we can workshop that. And I just said the word workshop, and you can fucking kill me. Yeah, I, you know what? And I am fascinated by your profession. And I told you, like, I go on YouTube a lot because I'm trying to wean myself off basic cable, which, by the way, costs a fortune. And a lot of times I do watch that stuff about actors describing the process, about how they're getting into a role, what they do for a role, stuff like that. I do find that stuff fascinating.
Yeah.
And I have a clip later on when we do the story, if we do the story. We never get to have our stories. You know the actor Tim Roth?
Yeah.
He's talking about, and it applies to a story we're doing online. But he basically was playing a guy that was like a human lie detector.
Mm-hmm.
And so he could look at you and see all the tells and know that you were lying. And he was offered, and I thought this was very interesting, he was offered to take a class with the guy that he is basing his portrayal on to learn how to
read it.
And he didn't want to do it. Because he didn't want to know, and I'm surprised by this, he did not want to know when his kids were lying to him, that they were that devious and lying all the time and stuff like that. He did not want that knowledge. And I feel like if it's offered to you, I would want to know. Because so many people lie on such a daily basis. I would like to.
But then I think your whole life becomes, you know, you're not listening to a person anymore. You're just trying to decipher if what they're telling you is the truth. Or you're looking for those tells as opposed to really hearing them out, which is, I guess, kind of the point.
That is, you know, see, every once in a while, sometimes I think you are smart. You surprise me. That is exactly one of the other things that he said. Yeah, that he's like that the person that he's portraying doesn't really have any real conversations anymore because they can't really connect as much because they're so good at what they do. All they do is like, although I bet he'd be a good poker player to see all the, you know, all the tells.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's like one thing to be, let's say you're a hairdresser and then, you know, you meet someone and you immediately when you see them, oh, okay, you take in their hairstyle and then you move on. But like if your profession is you're a human lie detector, you're always working.
Yeah.
Always.
I don't think you can turn that off. Well, we'll discuss it with our amazing guests, but before we get to them, we can ask them their impressions of this. I hope I sent it to them. Maybe I didn't, but we can describe it to them. Deborah Messing of Will and Grace fame. Has she done anything besides that?
Yes, she did Smash, which was a television show. She did Mysteries of Laura, another television show. She was at Manhattan Theater Club in a play called Something Mullinger. She was an Irish. I saw it. She played an Irish girl. Very good. Very talented.
You're actually good with your Irish accent.
Thank you.
this is a little akin to other things we were talking about in the green room. She got some bad feedback from a stupid Instagram post to begin with. It was, oh, and I forgot to get you a gift for International Women's Day.
Hate you.
I know. Well, you know what? Don't like chicks. Never have. But she posted, do we have the photo? She posted a picture of vagina muffins. Okay.
Cupcakes.
Yes.
Oh, I get why you said muffin.
Oh, God. Sorry.
Oh,
cupcakes.
You didn't even.
I didn't even. Well, I'm off my game already.
Isn't a vagina muffin redundant?
Thank you. And you know what? These are making me hungry. And they're all different types here. Different colors, different shapes, different sizes. Some wax, some don't. Wax on, wax off, not to get all Karate Kid on you. And you would think that that was just some dumb International Women's Day post about the empowerment that was these cupcakes. But the transgender community went after her.
Got it.
Because, and I'm still not really sure why, because when they have surgery, their D becomes that, so who cares? But apparently some
can't. Yeah, we don't know if that's pre or post-op.
Thank you. So she had to issue an Instagram apology. And instead
Which
of
is
me,
my favorite kind of apology.
Thank you. Those are the only kinds I do.
Yeah.
And hers was good, but I know an actress that could probably do it better. And so we're going to do this apology, but I don't think Deborah should do it. But I also think we should go to our graphics.
I'll do it. I'll do it so good.
That's exactly sounds like Deborah Messing, by the way. You were already in character.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't. I don't write this all in all caps just for your bad eyes.
Yes, I can.
Thank you. Happy, where are we? Oh my God, it's the set of Will and Grace.
Oh, nicely done, guys. Free Monday brings out the best in Garrett and John.
Happy International Women's Day. Powerful, beautiful, and sweet. I want to apologize to my trans sisters. This photo was supposed to be light and sassy. The first thing I thought when I saw this photo was, wow, how wonderful. Each one is unique in color and shape and size. The porn industry has perpetuated this myth of what a beautiful vagina looks like. And as a result, there are women who feel shame or insecure about the shape of their vulva. I loved that this picture said every single one is beautiful and unique and powerful. I did not, however, think. But there are innumerable, beautiful, unique, and powerful women who don't have a vagina. And I should have. And I am so sorry for that. Thank you for righting my wrong.
Oh, and scene. That might have been your best one yet.
Thank you.
Guys, I don't know if there's an Oscar for Instagram ratings, but she gets one. She gets one.
I'm so sorry. For an encore presentation, someone from the American Diabetes Association write in how awful it is to be promoting obesity in this country. All right. Cupcakes.
Don't make this your own. This is Deborah's world, and we're just living in it. Look, some people have a P, but they want a V, and they don't have it yet. Make a cupcake for them. Otherwise, you're an insensitive bigot.
Do you expect any other feedback on Instagram or Twitter? Come on.
You get what you pay for, and last I checked, they're both free.
Also,
so
those
on you,
kind
America.
Of cupcakes taste awful, not because they're vaginas, but there's so much of that fondant on top. You're like, scrape that off.
Wait, is that the key ingredient when making a vagina cupcake?
Well, how else are... I'm not going to say anymore.
No. Keep going. Finish that thought.
No.
Nope,
it's
do
free
it.
Free Mondays. Let's bring in our guests.
All right. Hey, more graphics. Michael Malice, one of our favorites, is back. He's the author of Dear Reader and The New Right, which is coming out in May. You guys, he is the host of the awesome show on Guest Digital called You're Welcome. Unfortunately, Joanne and I recently graced him with our presence. I shouldn't say the word grace. And he's also the host of Nightshade on this very network. In finance, he is. Oh, by the way, Joanne wants to be a part of this, and I think she needs it. This is a great idea.
Your new podcast.
He's got a new podcast coming out today called Sex Ian in the City. That's I like the wordplay. Where he and ex-Impractical Jokers writer and producer Jay Miller rewatch the series together. Yes. And is Alana Love here yet?
No.
It is so rare that people in the adult industry are late. We'll just chalk this up to bad subways or some sort of disease.
She had a problem coming.
Oh, nicely done. Mm-hmm. Good sir. When she comes in... I just set myself
there
up.
Go all our sex-related stories.
Yeah,
am I right,
no
guys?
Kidding. We just had a couple porn ones. When she comes in, send her on her way over there.
Do you guys want to hear about the prank I'm playing in the studio?
Please.
On who?
On all of us.
Okay.
Well,
oh, gosh.
But now we're going to know.
Oh, oh there it is.
Traffic. Let's take a look.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. Oh.
Oh, that
I love
is
that.
Great.
Still better than Cynthia Nixon.
Yeah, how are you How are you the Charlotte, the Carrie, and the Miranda?
Well, we re-edited that, so I'm just Samantha and Carrie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm
I've never seen the show.
Wait, so you're watching it?
Yeah,
I'm
watching it for
the first time.
Yeah.
Well, my buddy Jay has seen every episode like religiously and loves it, and I've never seen it and always been like, ah, it stinks. I hate women that make it their identity.
Can I give you a slight spoiler?
Yeah.
She's always dissatisfied. No, season one, she talks to camera.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the seasons, she doesn't anymore.
Really?
It's just that sort of voiceover inner monologue. So don't think you're like, oh, crap, I got to watch this for, you know, six whole seasons.
No, I like when she talks to camera.
Well,
I hated the show, and then I saw a couple episodes. I was like,
hi, Alana.
Hi.
We already did your intro. I've hopefully promoted everything. Actually, no, I haven't. Well, yeah, I did. But do you, I assume Ian's new podcast involves Sex and the City. I assume as someone with fallopian tubes, you've seen the show.
I've been on the show.
Are you kidding me?
Nuh-uh.
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Haven't I done a podcast with you? Yeah, your show.
Yeah, yeah, but I have a different one coming out today.
All right.
See,
so
everyone's got at least five podcasts.
That's
about it.
I should start one.
You got to throw shit on the wall and see what sticks.
Oh, completely. That's
20 years later on Sex and the City. Here we go, baby.
The thing that I find interesting about that is Sarah Jessica Parker. We're talking about in the first season she talked to the camera. Who is her husband but Matthew Broderick? And at the time when he did Ferris Bueller, not a lot of people in movies talk to the camera.
Right.
That was very new.
That's right.
I wonder if she stole that from him.
I don't know, but our goal is to get her on the show. Every other episode, we like email a publicist or like call someone to try to get her on the show.
That's great.
She's an easy get.
Yeah, you think?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, but she is.
She wants to get every dopey podcast.
She is a true New Yorker. She loves New York City. If you follow her on Instagram, she's like, she loves taking the subway and like going out. And she thinks she's a normal person.
And being a phony on Instagram.
Yeah.
Very New York.
She's actually pretty real on Instagram.
That's not what Cynthia Nixon says.
Oh, dear.
Wait, really? So she's got more than one enemy
on
Cattrall.
Sorry, Kim Cattrall.
They all think that they're like in the show.
Typical Cynthia move.
Well, maybe if you try to get Kim Cattrall on the show, then
she was mannequin.
Do it.
Yes. Oh, my God. She is such a babe.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
And not bitter at all.
No, definitely.
Yeah, right. I used to watch the show religiously. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Every single person I talked to was like, I've watched this show forever. I love it. And I'm like,
I know every single episode by heart.
Really?
Yes.
I never seen it.
My brother and then his girlfriend, now wife's place, and she would watch it every Sunday. And I saw a lot.
How watchable is it on a scale of Big Bang Theory to Breaking Bad?
It's. I would equate it, and she's going to punch me in the face for this. It's closer to Big Bang. Because first of all, I don't remember liking it that much to begin with. Even the nude scenes were not that frequent. And also, I remember it kind of being hacky, and I've rewatched a couple of them now. They don't age well.
Oh,
and
no?
None of it's funny.
I think that's the charm of it.
Yeah, it's unwatchable.
Yeah, it's totally disposable.
It's got that Neil Hamburger anti-comedy humor.
Yeah,
no, that's the charm of, like, you know, having a landline in your apartment. And
I don't think that's the problem with the show is the landline.
She's smoking and writing, and I'm like, I am a Carrie. I love it so much.
Well, but also, like, half of her fucking lines are a bad New York Post headline. Like, everything is like,
she is a writer. She's a New York columnist.
Yeah, but still, like, it's like, everything is like, when she finishes a thought, she's like, but when you think about her, then you think about me.
That's not writing any more than, like, I'm an actor is acting. That's bad writing.
Yeah.
Well, I never said she was a good writer.
Well, it's not, a writer wouldn't actually write like that.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. That's so great. That's a promo shot for his. Y'all can't see it.
Oh, good Lord.
But it's Carrie on the Bus, except it's not Carrie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Let's keep things from the audience as much as possible.
Yeah. I don't think you guys understand the video part of this show.
Ian, go ahead and reenact that pose right here on the desk. Beautiful. Nice.
Oh.
Michael's lap. Hello.
By the way, you got a haircut too, and I like it.
I did.
You look good, my friend.
Thank you.
I look like a terrier, but you look good.
No, I think you look good. I think I look like a gay poodle.
I think homeless person going out for his first job interview.
I think you're not far off. Yeah, it's just I've got the. It's very Brussels. There just doesn't. There's nothing real about it.
You look like a tortured writer.
No.
I just look like I get tortured by electrocution.
Tortured by a writer.
Yeah. A lot of that.
Yeah, you got a bad write-up, or you just went off the deep end.
Because I'm a terrible, terrible co-host, I don't necessarily know if I sent this to you guys, but Joanne just did a very powerful reading of Deborah Messing's apology on Instagram.
Oh, about what?
Can I tell my Deborah Messing story?
You may.
Of course.
I got Deborah Messing and Roseanne to go at it on Twitter.
What?
Oh,
it wasn't really hard because Roseanne is like this ultra Zionist, you know, crazy person. And Deborah Messing has her very poorly informed opinions that she constantly spouts. And my friend Ryan asked me to stop trolling her, which I did. And Deborah Messing was on some tear about something, you know, lefty. And I go, hey, Roseanne, are you seeing what Deborah Messing is saying about whatever the issue is that you are interested in? And Roseanne's like, all right, let me at her. And the two of them go at it. I just sit back and I'm like, fuck.
Wait, were you still at
Twitter puppet master now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Cool. What is Deborah Messing apologizing for?
Oh, okay.
She shared a photo of vagina cupcakes that she received. And in her caption, she said how much she loved the fact that they were vaginas of all different shapes and colors.
Mm-hmm.
But then apparently she got feedback on Instagram.
There we are.
People were upset in the trans community because there are some women who do not have vaginas.
Yes. I think that's so great because it's still men dictating the conversation at the end of the day.
Hey, boy!
Absolutely. It's still misogyny.
It's not.
Score one for the good guys.
It's not called Grace and Will, ladies.
You know, you are right.
Oh, yes.
She's a mess.
Oh, that's so fucking
stupid. Spell messing without mess.
Oh, man. I don't know. Alana, what do you think? Is this, like, first of all, is this something that traffics well? Are women buying a lot of these vagina cupcakes, and I've just missed the boat on this trend?
I mean, I'm not buying it, but I think no apology necessary. Like, everyone's too sensitive nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, you pull something up and it's just like somebody finds fault in everything. So it's like, why apologize?
Yes. Yeah. Listen, oh, and she did a long one.
But if you're hoovering cupcakes as you cry yourself to sleep alone, knowing you will never get married, you're going to be a little sensitive about things.
Mm. Now, thinking about that in that way, would you have a vagina cupcake while crying yourself to sleep, wondering if you never got married? I feel like
that's to each his own.
I think at that point, it's not a beggar's chooser situation.
Yeah.
I think it's just like you take whatever. If the Haagen-Dazs pints are gone in the fridge.
You know what's funny is that Deborah brings up such a good point because so many women have issues with their vagina. Is where they feel like it's too lippy, it's too gross, and they get like this feedback from looking at porn that like you have to have a perfect vagina. So like that's a great message, and then these fucking mongoloids come along and they're like, but what about this? It's like, oh, fuck you.
Those fucking mongoloids and their cupcakes, man.
I know.
Would a mongoloid cupcake be problematic? We'll do a survey. Otherwise, I'm going to start making.
Does it come with a helmet?
Oh, God, yeah. A little special bus to deliver.
Yeah.
You got a really strong taste.
Yeah, what flavor are these cupcakes? Like, what's the ultimate vagina cupcake frosting
salty.
Combination?
Salty.
Yeah, I was going to say there'd be a sushi aftertaste.
Oh, God.
Ew. What kind of women are you dealing with?
Seriously.
I like my Asians.
Jesus, Bill.
I condemn myself. Sorry, Free Mondays. Do you want to do the Simpsons one first?
Yes.
All right, go for
it. I was going to make a reference to another news article. I was going to say maybe you have stinky vagina cupcakes because those girls have been on the keto diet.
Oh, well, we got to do that one. We haven't done that
one. No, that's...
All right, we'll do...
No.
No.
We'll do that. We'll do that one after the Simpsons one.
But I'm sure you'll
I ask you guys what you want to talk about.
Okay. From stinky to this stinks.
Amazing.
The Simpsons...
Segue on point.
No, I'm surprised because this is the Simpsons. They are pulling an episode...
Yeah.
Of their show featuring the voice of Michael Jackson. So it's.
Are you really surprised after what they did with the poo?
Is that still on the.
True.
Are they getting rid of a poo altogether? Yeah. I'm not even. Yeah.
I think so, right? They're writing him off?
Yeah, they're deporting him.
So supporting him.
In the 1991 episode Stark Raving Dad, Homer Simpson meets a man in a mental institution, and this man claims to be Michael Jackson. So they actually got Michael Jackson to voice this character.
Never credited him.
They never credited him. Actually, they think it had to do with his recording contract. They weren't allowed to. It is important to note that when he sings Happy Birthday to Lisa later in the show, that is not Michael Jackson singing. That is someone else. But all of the dialogue is, in fact, Michael Jackson. Due to the new documentary Leaving Neverland,
they're yellow,
where it was exposed he sexually abused Two Ben when they were children. The producer James Brooks said that the documentary gave evidence of monstrous behavior. It feels like this was clearly the only choice to make. What he says, while he's against the book burning of any kind, this is our book and we're allowed to take out a chapter. How do we feel about that?
I saw that documentary. I finished
it. So did
it.
I.
I still have it.
And I saw the response, and I don't know that I buy it.
I don't
really
necessarily agree with it.
Wait, what don't you buy?
That he did. The man died already years ago.
Sure.
Like, just let his legacy live on. Like, why are you bringing up all this now instead of, like, when he was alive?
They did.
He can't defend himself. He's dead.
That is true. But what about all of the people who helped make it happen?
They're certainly still
alive. I blame the parents, too, because why would they allow their kids?
Without a doubt.
Like, my kid is 7 years old. Let him stay in Michael's bed. What do you think is, like, oh, and I'll stay in, like, I don't know, another part of the country.
Literally. The ranch was so big.
Exactly. I didn't know what was going on.
So, but now, Michael, you're saying that you feel like you don't believe.
There's a YouTube video. I think the guy's name is Razor Fist or something like that. And he took it apart and he goes, this is bullshit. And the thing is, when you watch that documentary, I interviewed Juanita Broderick on my show, who said she was raped by Bill Clinton. And what was very disturbing about her is that she was talking very calmly, but she was crying, which to me had that kind of disconnect between the trauma and, you know, 30 years later, you could still talk about it with a rational voice. And their affect in that documentary seemed very flat, and it didn't seem like they had been traumatized. And again, they're only bringing this stuff up now. They defended him very, very vigorously while he was alive. And most importantly, that the guy called out in this rebuttal video, he called them to testify. So it just seems kind of doesn't make sense that, like, okay, you've been raping this kid for 7 years, you get accused in a criminal trial, and your first call is, can you come to the defense stand? That doesn't add up.
I think that, though, is there something to be say that
you want them, because you've been grooming them for years and convincing them that it's love.
Now they're adults.
And that it's not rape. I know, but the psychological damage that does to you when you're a child, to have that trust broken and to be told, like, this is what love is. This is what friendship is. You're my friend, right? And to, like, continually contact them, be like, it's us versus them, and to get you to turn against your parents and everyone around you, like, that does massive damage.
You didn't turn them against their parents, according to them. But the point is, sure, I agree with all that. There's no question. The point is, if you're about to go to jail and you're probably going to get killed in jail, that would not be the first phone call to make. You'd be, holy shit, you would not be certain that this person's going to defend you, because this is a big, big, big gamble.
That
I
we also are applying logic to an illogical even defense, even though it's
all right.
Attorney was, but it's certainly not the man. Like, for all we know,
just because someone's weird doesn't mean they're illogical.
I think. All right, what we know, what we know to be fact is so
illogical if you're raping
children.
The
stuff that we don't know to be fact, which is we don't know what happened in the bedroom specifically, but we know what led up to it. We know that he was they were in the bedroom for as much as they were.
Right.
We know that he sent the parents on their merry way and had the kids together for 5 days as a 7-year-old. And again, that is on the parents, but I think there's a lot of red flags there. And I think that the other thing, too, is there's a lot of similarities between both their stories. Could they have talked together amongst themselves beforehand, perhaps? But the other thing, too, is, like, PTSD does not make, like, a good memory of what you're saying. And
they specifically said they did not have any kind of suppressed memories. They both repeatedly said this in the documentary.
Well, not PTSD, yes. Not suppressed
but
memories.
I also think, too, the difference between, like, we need a Broderick. And then these guys is like, they were children sure. and her as an adult. I think that, you know, the way that you recall things, or like you said, when you're groomed in such a way and manipulated in such a way, then you're retelling of something that at the time you didn't think was wrong and you're still trying to get a grasp on that can lead to a completely different delivery of the memories than, you know, someone else in a different
situation. We're talking generalities, but I'm talking about this specific case because I agree with everything you're saying with generalities. When I'm talking about this specific case, I would encourage everyone to, because I was all like, okay, this sure. None of us would ever be in a bed with a 7-year-old. So it's something we can't wrap our heads around. Mm-hmm. So right away, it's easier to think. Yeah. It makes more sense if you're having a 7-year-old in your bed that you're fucking him, that you're just hanging out with him. That, in a way, is more logical.
Was he crazy? Of course he was.
Exactly.
Like, was he deranged? Of course. But like...
Like he said,
we don't know exactly what happened. He never had a childhood. So, like, maybe this was his childhood.
I can think of a lot of people that never had a childhood. Yeah, and but they didn't react like this.
What was this? How are the parents?
No, you're right.
I was talking.
The parents were groomed as well because he's leaving faxes for the mom. He's talking to the mom on the phone. But he's got this celebrity star power where they're completely blinded by logic. They want their child to be famous. And then he's hanging out at the house and, like, treating them like a family. He's getting the mom to separate from the dad. Like, this is all. Classic pedophile like grooming behavior. Like if you watch Abducted in Plain Sight, that guy.
I mean,
does the
I believe R.
thing.
Kelly 100% did whatever he did, but.
And again, he got those people away from their parents. Like you take these people away from anyone in their life that could be like, hey, stop this. You know what I mean?
And that brings it to the other thing
also,
too.
How does he have that much time? Isn't he like doing dance routines? Why is he talking to a child on the phone
dance
for 9 hours?
It's heavy choreography.
Singing, and then he's just
like
on
while
the
he's on the phone practicing.
And certainly, it's been said a million times, but the whole hiding in plain sight thing can't be overlooked too, because you look back at some of this footage, and there he is holding hands with boys in like amusement parks. They're all staying there with him. Like all of this with anyone else would just be big red flags. But because it was Michael Jackson, because he didn't have a childhood, everyone just sort of overlooked it because he was just sort of from this different Michael Jackson planet than the rest of us.
Or it's like coming from a place of love. Well, a lot of things can come from love and turn out twisted.
I'm still not sure what love is.
I just thought it was pretty grotesque how gross was it that the producers are probably like, can you go into more detail? Can you tell us?
Oh, and it was a lot of detail.
I want to see a documentary.
Why do we have to do that?
I want
to
see the documentary. The documentary of them making the documentary. Like, I've always wanted to be a food blogger. I take pictures of the people taking pictures of food. Because I am curious the behind the scenes of the producers, like, tell me more about that. Or, like, how did they handle them? Or what was it like? You know, even I only watched the first 15 minutes. Because I was what's the point? I know what happens. But the mom of, I guess it was Wade, she was almost like smiling and proud of herself.
She was smiling the whole time.
Well, I got my son to do this. Like, is that just her nervous affect? Or is she like, I'm in front of the camera, so I'm doing this? Or because really,
the grandmother was smiling too.
Looking back, you're like, how the fuck did I miss these sons? You know?
Right. The affect did not see. On the other hand, thankfully, I have no idea what the affect of someone who's been abused would actually look like.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to figure out, is this correct or is this someone who is telling a story?
Yes.
So that's why it's important, I think, to watch both sides.
Someone that loves being in front of the camera.
Yeah. So that the rebuttal, he makes the point that Jordy Chandler, the first accuser, fled the country rather than testify again. And that there was a book that was published, which was supposedly Jordy Chandler's diaries, the first accuser. Mm-hmm. The author was sued by Michael Jackson, had made it all up, owed him $2.7 million because of libel. He fled the country as well. And many of these accusations that one of the guys, I forget which one, made were like verbatim lifted from that book. So that was very, I'm just saying there's red flags in every direction. That said, at the very least, let's pretend nothing ever happened. Why are you hanging out with these kids? Like, kids are not interesting. It's very weird. There's nothing that will make us think that his behavior is something we can empathize with in the best scenario.
That's a great point. Well, and then so the other thing, too, is, you know, for a long time, Wagner was not allowed in Israel because he was a big anti-Semite and they just didn't want to play his music. And now you flash forward to the days of R. Kelly and Michael Jackson. The talk now is, should we not play Michael Jackson Michael Jackson music anymore? Should we
it's
not play
good.
R. Kelly?
It's too
like,
good.
What point?
Yeah, right.
Yes, that's the voice boner.
How do I seduce a 12-year-old?
Listen, he told us he was bad.
and dangerous.
We'll be right
back. Watching the R. Kelly documentary, it was so sickening.
I haven't watched that one.
You mean sickening in a good way or a bad way?
In a bad way, obviously.
Sick is different than sickening.
Sickening.
Yeah.
Sickening.
Yeah, the R. Kelly documentary was... Well, what was insane about that was I had to watch it on a streaming service. I had to watch it on, like, the Lifetime streamer. And it was amazing that they still had the ads play in the middle of this documentary. So a girl would be like, and then he beat me when I tried to go outside. And then it would just flash, honey, bunches of oats. What the fuck? It was insane. It was like, can we just have like a little bit of a fade out or something?
Although it's kind of working. I haven't had honey bunches of oats in a while.
It's like one of the best, the honey bunches.
They've got like 8 kinds.
Yeah, oh, there's so many.
Oh, yeah, too many now. I get confused. But, like, so should that stop being played on the radio? We don't see The Cosby Show that much in syndication anymore for obvious reasons.
Who listens to the radio?
Like, well, all right, not the
radio. That's the point.
But,
do you know what I mean? Like, where I don't know where a point where I'm in a place where...
Miss radio.
Jersey girl.
Yeah.
No, but really, let's say you're shopping in Target, right? And, they play music over the loudspeaker. If Michael Jackson comes on, how many customers are going to go complain?
I think a lot of people are...
Depends on how many liberals are there.
Or how many children.
how many children are
they're not getting horny? Because they're not hearing his songs.
I think it's all crocodile tears.
I agree.
Really.
I agree with
you. I mean, like, all these allegations came out years ago, just like the shit that's going on with Tucker Carlson right now, where everyone's like, cancel Tucker!
That.
And it's like, well... But
I'm sorry, if anyone read...
Cancel him fucking 5 years ago or even like a couple weeks ago when he flipped out on that guy that was talking about CPACs and everything. Like, he's a bad dude. He's a piece of shit.
If you read the HuffPost piece, it's not bad. The stuff he said. Did anyone else read it?
No.
I didn't either. She was telling you that.
Everyone read these headlines and then you read it. And it's one of these things like, he's a guest on a radio show. The host says, isn't that woman a cunt? And Tucker goes, well, I don't like to use that word about women. But yeah, I mean, I guess if you're saying it, she's a little cunty. You know, like he'll say
hilarious.
Things
and
like agreeing so with people.
Right,
he's put in situations where they're trying to get him to say this stuff. And he always prefaces it with, well, I don't like to judge a woman by her looks, but thank goodness she's intelligent, and like they're taking from that she's a horse.
No, but
you know?
I just tweeted out this morning, like the pretense, like you exactly said, like any one of these people who wants him fired didn't have this exact same feeling 6 months ago is absurd.
Yeah. Oh, completely. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a piece of shit.
No, but really, people should actually read the article.
Well, I like that he didn't apologize. He's just like, fuck you.
Well, if you know Tucker, he does. He won't. Yeah. That's just him.
No, but sometimes the network will make you. Like it made, I forget who it was, maybe Laura Ingraham or one of them, and he's just like, no.
Yeah, Laura Ingraham took a couple days leave.
Yeah.
And like made her go away. But I mean, like, even his interview with Jon Stewart like 10, 15 years ago when Jon
Crossfire
called him out, I mean, that was incredible and it was absolutely truthful. And it's like, if you take him seriously after that, you're a fucking loser.
Yeah.
You know, like anyone that goes to Tucker Carlson and
takes Jon Stewart seriously.
Ah, I walked into that one. But yeah, what he's doing with 9/11 first responders, he's a real piece of shit. Anyway. I just think Tucker Carlson's a joke.
20 years, give it up, Peter. Bodies are cold. If you can
already,
find them.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's a new building there. Come on.
It's free Mondays. We don't go down that.
Nice. I keep forgetting.
I think it was a Tuesday. Was it 9/11 a Tuesday?
Oh, it was.
It was a Tuesday, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember. Yeah.
From Carlson to crotches. I can't do it. See, you got to do
the segue.
Speaking of a smelly cunt. No.
Free Mondays. We can't edit that out. It's live.
I actually really hate the C word. I don't use it unless I'm quoting someone.
And again, she's just being a journalist.
She means colored.
Oh. The downside of dieting, question mark? There's no downside. Women say they are suffering with smelly keto crotch as a result of following the low-carb regimen loved by stars like Gwyneth Paltrow and Jenna Jameson, don't you know? Those two celebrities have been promoting the keto short keto diet. It's low carb or limiting carbs that will, you know, spike the blood sugar in favor of healthy fats and proteins. But some women say the diet has caused a strange odor to emit from the vagina.
Wait a minute.
An OBGYN agrees that it can, in fact, alter your odor. Some recommend visiting with a professional if this happens.
Odor is the goal.
What?
I've done ketosis. That's when you know it's working. When the ketones are in your pee and your pee smells like nail polish remover, that's when you know it's working. And that's the happiest moment of your day. It's
interesting.
Great. Yeah. It's the goal is to get the smelly
if it
pee.
It smells, you know
it doesn't
it's
smell
working.
Bad. It just smells like a chemical and it's fucking awesome. And then if you eat carbs, you're out of ketosis and you got to get back into it.
So this is another no carb thing.
It's a low carb thing. This isn't another. This is the one.
This is the one.
Yeah.
I just, my pee smells like coffee. That's about it.
Yeah, mine does too.
No, it's great. It's great when it smells because then it gives you.
That is Jenna Jameson and her keto crotch.
She's a Jewess.
By the way, Ian, I love the name Keto Crotch because it sounds like an anime character. Almost honorable keto crotch.
A ball of fire comes out of their crotch instead of their penis.
I mean, do guys even care? Like, if a girl's on a keto diet that's not a deal breaker.
Smell.
Come on. Like, is this much ado about ketoing?
Is she a stinky pussy?
Well, there's.
Or if they're on a diet.
I don't know. Both. I'll ask the questions.
If I'm into the girl, I love like natural smells and everything. But if it's like actual visible cartoon stink lines, you know, put on my Bane
another
mask
deleted
and go away,
episode.
You know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's obvious that diet influences how things are going to smell,
right? And well, this is. I wonder if this is going to hurt it.
The thing I like about Ian is I feel like. If you were with someone who did smell, I feel like you would have no problem letting them know, but like in a very kind way.
Yes.
You wouldn't try
I'll
to butter
you
up.
Let them know.
You'd be like,
eat
yeah.
a cupcake.
Tell, I feel like.
This is what your vag should smell like. Frosting.
No, I feel like you would just be very honest.
Cupcake.
Yeah. In like a loving way.
How would you tell someone?
Yeah, how would you tell someone?
I mean, first of all, you do like a dip test, you know, you like you know how you check the oil
okay,
in the car.
Asked.
You do that.
No, I don't mean how you would test for it. You've already deciphered that it's not to your liking. So how would you tell someone?
I'd say, look, any other day, I'd love to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner off that nice, wonderful pussy palace. But for now, you're on a diet, and I think I might take a diet too. You know,
nice.
That's what I would say.
Nice.
I like that.
Alana, are there certain diets that people avoid in the adult industries as far as like something like this possibly happening? I mean, you know, you always hear about the whole asparagus thing. I don't know if it applies to women.
Yeah,
it certainly does for guys.
Asparagus, the whole asparagus thing is true.
It is true.
Yes.
Okay.
As for me, I'm not on the keto diet. So, but I love food. So that's why I work out. But I love food, so I eat anything. But, and I smell pretty, so I can only speak for myself.
Best billboard ever. And I don't want to, obviously we've been very.
I smell pretty sounds like the I Feel Pretty porno parody.
Yes.
I feel pretty.
Yeah.
We're giving all these ideas out for free, you guys. What part of trademarking are you not
West
getting?
West Side. I don't want to say. No, because we're more empowered than that.
Are we?
West Side Glory.
West Side Glory Hole.
There you go.
You know what? You've been creating awareness since day one.
No, it would be Backside Story. Come on.
Oh man.
Fucking sniper over here.
We had a TM to all of these comments, guys. Backside I want the sweet, sweet money. Backside Story it is. Fuck. Well, and I wanted to do
just
this
gotta get
one.
Your razor and cut her up, baby. That's the kind of porn I like.
When you're a jet, you're a jet all the time.
Sharks and the jets.
Wait, when you're a jet, when you're a jet, you're a jet all the way from your first cigarette to your last dying gay. All right, now let's do, see, little rhyme there. While we have Alana here, because we're not going to be able to use this tomorrow. I'm sorry, we're doing the porn one, but you could use
shocker.
Yeah, I know. You
have an expert.
We have an expert. So you're released by the
You're an expert in the shocker?
Oh,
you know, that's probably part of it. A study released by the online porn portal that is X-Hamster. Sounds like you broke up with a hamster. X-Hamster dubbed the report on digital sexuality, nicely titled. The survey of 11,000 users found that the more porn you watch, the more likely you are to go both ways. The study reveals that 22.36% of U.S. porn users are
by that 0.36.
I know. Where will we
What's
be without that point?
What's the number?
22.36% are bisexual. Surprisingly, a full 1.9% of porn viewers describe themselves as asexual. I don't understand that.
It's percentages. Like, I know. Was it 25 people they surveyed?
Well, you know, I like my math. The overwhelming majority of porn consumers are 67% heterosexual. Researchers found that watching porn once a day makes you more like less likely to be bisexual, and the more percentages of porn you watch per day, the more you are likely to consider yourself bisexual. They haven't done a study like this before. They have now, and thank God they did, because where would we be without our studies? Alana, does this make sense to you, or what is sense?
I'll be honest, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
So let me ask you, if you watch porn all day long, you're bisexual? Do you like both ways?
No, but I think, you know, the thumbnails are so small, you can't see what's actually in them. And then one thing leads to another, and you click it, and you're like, oh, well, why don't I check this out?
Watch gay porn and regular porn?
No, but I think you get so desensitized to dicks because you just see them so much that you're like, oh, well, no big deal. And then you slowly go from straight porn to trans porn to gay porn to the glory hole on 23rd and 8th.
Leaving Neverland.
Then, you know? Yeah. And then you start talking on the phone to children.
I bet you what it's talking about are dudes who are willing to double team a chick and they consider themselves bisexual. You know how they word these questions?
But you know what? As much as I hate the cliche, although great name for a porn, as much as I hate the cliche, it's a slippery slope. It is. I think it is. The more you...
I forget being bisexual, which also I think everyone is, and I'm the only enough to admit it. Anyway,
there's a Kinsey scale, my friend.
When did incest become in vogue in the porn industry?
There was an article about
because
that recently.
I cannot stop going to like Pornhub and it's like stepsister with dad, brother and sister have naughty laundry. And it's like, well, now I'm jerking off to a photo album.
Yeah.
You know? Now I can't go to my family reunion because I'm going to fuck Aunt Carol.
You know? Why? You could shoot a porn movie with your family.
In fairness, Aunt Carol's been doing Pilates lately. She's looking good.
Aunt Carol, if you're listening, don't go on keto.
I wonder how many people. Get ripe for me. I wonder.
Oh my gosh. Please. This is a free Monday.
I wonder how many people, though, in this study have an actual like sex or porn addiction. Because I feel like people with sex addictions are the ones who generally are bisexual or will have partners of both sexes.
Yes.
So, you know, if you have a sex addiction, I'm assuming you probably also have a porn addiction.
I think that's a myth that people who are bi are just really, really horny.
I go back.
I'm not saying that. I'm just wondering.
I think the two could be of the same category.
Sure.
You could be bi, and then I can think that if you have a sex addiction, sex is sex is sex.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is why.
If you have an addiction, then you're horny all the time. It doesn't really matter.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if they mean by bisexual, it's people who identify that way or people who just have had sex both ways. Do you know what I'm
saying?
That's
true. Yeah. As I have a line in my forthcoming book, I can't believe this got through to St. Martin's. Are you gay if you're on your knees but your heart isn't in it? That's the big question.
I'm looking forward to this book.
It's going
to
be good.
I am, I guess, for lack of a better term, bi, because I've been men and women. I'm attracted to both, but I don't think I could be in a relationship with a guy. So I go back and forth between the thing about, like, am I just horny? Am I just,
Or experimental?
Yeah, over and over, just trying the experiment to see what happens, you know? Mm-hmm. But
And by that rationale, what do you think of this? Do you think one began
I mean, I've been looking at porn for as long as I can remember, you know?
So, yeah.
But what kind of porn is it that you watch?
Everything. I mean, lately it's really been, lately it's, I mean, like, I'm always going to have a soft spot for gay porn, you know?
That's that means it's not working.
Yeah, yeah. Soft spot, huh? Interesting.
Interesting choice of
words. Yeah.
Well, and Alana, to his point, like, when did this incest thing start happening? Because you're absolutely right. 5 years ago, it was
so weird.
Stepson and like all that stuff. Like, now it is rife with these categories.
I think It's always been around, but now it's just...
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
It was never my thing, per se, but it's a thing.
I think it started once they legalized gay marriage.
Yeah.
I think that was, you know...
So, hey, let's legalize, but brother and sister can sleep with each other now.
Well, that's the new taboo thing.
I've noticed that they don't... They
I was
try
joking,
to,
but maybe there's
like a rule against it. I certainly don't think there's a law, but the way to get it...
laws against it.
No, but like, there's a law.
Sister.
I don't think there's a law.
I've seen brother and sister.
And they're brothers and sisters, but they're not actually because they always say step-sister.
Well, hey, look, talk about Michael Jackson and the music. What about separating the art and the artist from incest porn? You know?
Yeah.
Do I have to not watch... Watch Johnny Sins work because he was in a stepbrother stepsister porn, huh?
Yeah.
I refuse.
Where's his documentary?
Yeah.
I think we've gotten a lot of good advertisers on this free Monday from all of our very sensitive subject matters that we've had on today. You guys, I always know it's a great show when it goes this quickly. Let's go around the table. Give us all of your plugs and promotions before we send you on your merry way / gay. Alana, I'll give you...
You could follow me on Instagram at @_AlanaLove_ and Twitter AlanaLoveXXX and subscribe to my OnlyFans at AlanaLoveXXX.
If you don't do both, then you don't know what real love is. Ian, what do you got, buddy?
Hey, all right. iAnimal on Instagram, IANIMAL, Ian Finance on Twitter. You can see me every night at the Comedy Cellar in Greenwich Village, ianfinance.com for all my dates, and my new podcast, Sex Ian.
What a great idea. Yeah, do that. Again, I think you might have a guest if you want one. She's kind of an expert.
Well, we're looking for a network, too, ladies and gentlemen.
I got Gavin McInnes's lawyer on You're Welcome Tomorrow discussing his lawsuit against the SPLC.
Nice.
That's great. And always follow him on Twitter. Michael's one of the more entertaining ones out there, especially when he picks fights with Deborah Messing and Roseanne. Twitter puppet master.
I am. I really am. It's really fun.
Joe, unfortunately, I have to go to you to sum it all up, but let's get the graphics out first.
Oh, I love this.
Cupcakes. Completely overrated.
Yeah.
Completely.
Muffins
the icing, the worst part of a cupcake. And all of you who create the little sandwich out of the cupcake by taking off the bottom. No! Why do I work for my food? I don't eat it.
I, for one, support the cupcake community and send your letters to her.
I'll take the hate.
Being empowered with this kind of saccharine sweet section.